Oscar?
Yes, we are. 5 past the hour. So we have a number of apologies, but we also have a number of no-shows, unfortunately, which means we have nobody from the ICG and nobody from the CCWG on the call, which certainly will impact us. Anyway, let's, as it's really an update and status and sharing of information call, I think there's still...
Becky's on the call.
Oh, and Becky's on the call now. Okay. Now we have somebody from the CCWG at least. So given we're coming up to Dublin pretty soon, I think it's still worth continuing the conversation here and getting an update from at least the CCWG and the CWG. We'll push out the ICG.
Mary's on the call as well, so she can update on the ICG.
Jordan's coming at 5.
Ah, okay. So changing as I speak, Mary is now on the call. So we have some representation from each of the key working groups. So welcome, everybody. We seem to have lost Mary again. I know she's been trying to get, she's come on and off a couple of times. So since she's the only ICG person, we'll move the agenda around if that's okay, and we'll put the ICG in later as Mary becomes more available, and perhaps push up item number 3, an update from the CWG, to the first order of business, if that's okay with everyone. And if I could ask Lisa to kick it off, and I think a particular interest, which of course will be the SLE, but also the submission on conditionality, and then maybe we could have some dialogue on what your thoughts are around implementation. And perhaps how implementation looks from your perspective vis-a-vis potentially staff or CCWG perspective.
Okay. Well, thank you, Byron. The first item is the SLEs, and they were finalized at our last call, and we actually
We've lost you, Lisa. If you can hear
me. So let me interject.
Okay. Yeah.
Let me just interject on the SLE part. So they were submitted to the ICG about a week ago.
Deze oproep is onderbroken. Probeert u het later eens opnieuw. Cet appel est interrompu. Veuillez réessayer plus tard.
This call is interrupted. Please try again later.
Dieser Anruf wurde unterbrochen. Bitte später noch einmal versuchen.
Okay,
wow,
so what
Paul, that didn't sound like you at all.
It's a much better voice than mine. So all I'm saying is the SLE working group concluded, the service level expectation document was approved, it was submitted to the ICG. And one of the things that I need to follow up on, but Kim Davis is currently on paternity leave, and so I can't directly with him. I would welcome knowing where ICANN, IANA staff are with respect to the scoping document, because the scoping document needs to be approved by NTIA so that the gathering of data as prescribed within the SLE needs to be started. The intent is to gather the data over a 2-3 month period so ICANN can be confident they can live up to the thresholds that are yet to be determined. So the document is a blank canvas with regard to thresholds just because that is the way it was felt ICANN would feel comfortable with agreeing with the thresholds. But I would welcome Bart or a member of staff confirming with ICANN staff so we can have an update of where they are with respect to the SLE implementation, particularly reference to the scoping document.
Okay, thank you, Paul. So as I will try to contact the direct support staff, in this case Bernie, to check with NTI or with IANA where they are with these guys. So with regard to the scoping document, I'll get back to this group later or to you directly.
Thanks, Bart. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. Any questions for Paul? Okay, Lisa, you're back, it would appear. Or not?
No, she isn't.
Okay. Sir, we're just checking to see what has happened to Lisa.
She's asked that someone call her on her number, which is on the chat.
Yeah,
it's confirmed in the chat as well. Okay.
So as we're filling in, I have to say, I'll just fill in by saying I have quite enjoyed being involved in this particular process. Enjoyment has been frustrated, but also it has been quite pleasing that the document that we have, the SLE Working Group, has come up with does in fact improve significantly the service levels that are required. So I find it quite satisfying that the document has improved the reporting, has improved the customer service expectations that registries should enjoy, but there's an awful lot of bureaucracy that seems to, unnecessary bureaucracy that seems to be almost a prerequisite to running an efficient operation. So one of the feedback comments I would have to the CCNSO and anyone else who was thinking of putting their name forward for an elected post is that they must be willing to wade through, wade being the appropriate word, an awful lot of mind-numbingly boring and, if anything, irrelevant content. But the staff are willing, but it seems to be a very process-driven operation rather than a service-orientated body. But there's just some impact because I doubt I will be putting my name forward in the near term for any other project. But there's I hope Lisa's now on the call.
Lisa, are you there?
Hello, Mary's here.
Pardon? Mary.
Hi, Mary. Okay, yeah. Good to know you're Hi. On the call. I feel like we're on one of those YouTube videos that kind of mocks that mocks conference calls the way we're going here on this one. Anyway, I appreciate everybody's flexibility here.
Maybe go back to ICG.
Lisa, are you there yet? No? Okay. You know what? We're going to go back to ICG.
Okay.
And
good evening, everyone. This is Mary from Nigeria. In terms of the ICG, the public comment period has ended on the 8th of September. As an overview, we had about 157 comments received, 49 in English, 8 in other languages. And in terms of geographical distribution, there were 29% from North America, 3% LAC, 13% from Europe, and 7% from Africa. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. Mary.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we do.
All right, then. Then Asia Pacific, we had 17%. They have identified about 32% of the comments. We looked at the, and we are trying to plan responses to the comments. And we're we had members read part of the comments, and we distributed the comments according to the topic in particular. So would be reaching out to the operating communities if it requires that, or if it is something that some points or questions for clarification from ICG side, we will do that. If it requires going back to all the communities, we'll do that. But one of the overarching issues that came out strongly was the PTI and the related bodies, and how the operating communities will cooperate and coordinate to make sure that the PTI works well. Some also asked about the board composition. Of particular interest is the one that said that the non-CCNSO CCTLD should not be made, the board membership, the CSC membership should not be made compulsory for a non-CCNSO CCTLD. That should be an optional. It shouldn't be made mandatory. So that's one point. The other point is the question of removal of ICP1 as policy was also raised. I think that's of interest to the CCMSO as well. And the rest of the comments are the one on the IPR. We came to terms with what are the developments, and we're following up on that. I was not on the call today because we're trying to come to raise questions that will go to the operating communities. But we looked at our questions, people answered our questions properly, and what are the overarching issues. Those are the things we are looking at. And I think we have another call tomorrow, and we are planning to have a series of calls before we go to Durban. And there's a blog post on ICG. You are encouraged to read it on ICANN website. Okay, if there are other things you want to... if there are questions, I will be able to answer those questions.
Thank you, Mary. Are there any questions or comments for Mary?
So, if I may... Sorry.
Yes.
Go ahead, Paul.
Sorry, I've got to put my hand up. I'm a bit behind.
So just go ahead.
I would... Thank you. I would welcome knowing a little more about non-CCNSO CCTLDs should not be made compulsory. I don't know what that means,
yes.
But the main thing for non-CCNSO CCTLDs is ICANN per se does not impact their operation in any way. ICANN is a service operation, but I'd welcome knowing what you actually mean by that statement.
Okay. Well, the composition of CSC, if you look at the proposal from the names community, there's a list of those that will be part of the CSC. And one of the ones that were listed was a non-CCNSO CCTLD, right? So there was a comment that it shouldn't be made mandatory as part of the CSC. That's one of the comments I think will be of interest. Probably when you read the comments, you see, I think I have to get to the issue of that. So it was something that caught our attention, that the policy issue, the RZM issue also, those are the other things that I didn't remember to mention. Okay. So have I cleared the point? That in the proposal, in the men's proposal, the listing of members of CSC included a non-CC NSCCTLD. And the commentator said it shouldn't be made compulsory. It shouldn't be made mandatory. It shouldn't be listed. It could be an optional thing that if a CCNSO would want a non-CCNSO to be part of the CSC. So that was the issue.
Yes, thank you, Mary, for the clarification. Yes, thank you for the clarification. I was involved in the drafting of that and making sure that non-CCNSO members had a place, placeholder, effectively, in the CSC. I'm just wanting to make sure that nothing has been done to change the, quote, inert, unquote, value of having a non-CCNSO party there, because policy doesn't effectively impact them. But I think you have clarified, and I'm very grateful to you, Mary, for that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. Such issues, we go back to the men's community to seek clarification. So it's a decision of the men's community and not that of the ICG. It's just to raise a point that will be of interest to CCNSO in the public comment. That's why I drew the attention to that. Hello?
Mary, I have a question. It's Byron, and it's around ICP-1. Could you provide some more clarity on the ICG's perspective on the comments made regarding ICP-1 and whether the reference to it could be changed to reflect the fact that it's an artifact of history and not any kind of current policy? Where does the ICG stand on those requests?
Okay. As I said, we would also send that as one of the questions for clarification or for explanation to the operating community. And since the proposal is of the operating community and not that of ICG, so ICG, we flag it to one of the things, one of the issues of the civil jurisdiction that will get back to ICG on it before we finish our combining the proposal. Did we answer your question?
Yeah, thank you. Any other questions for Mary? Seeing none, I know we're jumping around a little bit, but I'm going to go back and see. Lise, are you on the call now?
I am, and I hope I stay on the call. I don't know why I got disconnected last time.
Welcome back.
Thank you. And it seems that Paul has covered all regarding the SLE, and I'm very grateful that he could finish that part. We are still waiting for the questions from the ICG. We haven't received anything formally. We've heard some rumors that there are questions coming, and Jonathan and I are trying to have a call with the ICG chairs in order to coordinate how we deal with those questions. Regarding the IPR, this is an issue that's going to be dealt with under the actual implementation phase, and we submitted a comment saying that that we don't that we think it should be dealt with under this, and we're supporting as also when the ICANN board came out and had no problems with the IPR issues, we didn't seem to find any reason to not support that the IPR could be transferred to to a trust. We don't know if it's going to be IETF or another trust. We also had Sidley draft a submission of the proposal, the accountability proposal, meeting the requirements from the CWG. And actually, we had some issues. One was, of course, that we found that in our first requirement, we said that the budget should be approved or vetoed, that the community should be able to approve and or veto the IANA budget. And we changed this to it's fine only to have a veto, so that's been submitted to the CCWG. Furthermore, there was a question if the requirement regarding the appeal mechanism was met, and as it stands today, or as it stood in the public comment process, the proposal, it needed some more clarity regarding the ability for decisions or non-decisions from IANA could be appealed. So that needed some more clarity in a revised proposal. So we had a submission to the public comment that was mostly dealing with our requirements. Furthermore, we have had a call with the accountability chairs, and it seems that the board has submitted some some comments that we're trying to change substantial parts of the proposal. So we are on the call that we're having with the CWG tomorrow. We will discuss with Sidley if the board submission will change that the proposal meet our requirements. So, and that's going to be a preliminary analysis of these of these submissions by the board. So there is a little uncertainty of if the CCWG are revising the proposal according to the board submissions, if it's still going to meet the requirements. And we will look into that as a group. And we'll discuss that tomorrow. And furthermore, Byron, you asked about the actual implementation process, and that's also something that we need to discuss with the CWG, but having an issue with questions coming up from the ICG and also the need to deal with the board comments to the accountability proposal. We haven't actually scheduled when we are going to talk about implementation, but it's certainly an issue that's on the mind of the CWG, but we need as a group to discuss what is our scope and do we have a role in the implementation.
Okay,
any
you.
Questions or remarks?
Mary, please go ahead.
Yeah, yes. Okay, thank you very much. One of the over 60% of commenters on the public, the ICG public comment was on the dependency of the accountability output on the NIMS proposal. So we really were concerned, or we really discussed at length on what effect it will be vis-a-vis the what board is proposing, whether the ICG will go for another, the CWG would have to go for another public comment, or CCWG will go for another public comment before finalizing. So, question to this, Lisa. Do you envisage that there might be that this CCWG will not fulfill the request from CWG on accountability, and if so, with what board has presented now as alternative, is it going to derail the transition?
Lisa, do you want to comment? Lisa, are you there?
I don't know whether she had me or not.
No, she was disconnected again.
All right.
So, okay. Hopefully we'll get her back shortly.
All right, then. All right. Okay.
So she's not able to answer your question at this moment.
So I participate in a number of the calls, Mary, and I have to say, in recent weeks, I have not been participating in many calls, but some of them. You asked a specific question. Is the CCWG revision going to derail the naming proposal? At the moment, that we have not, as a group, reviewed in detail what our original requirements were to the accountability group, and that is a work item that is ongoing. So it would be wrong to say that the process is derailed, because the group as a whole has not considered the new direction that the accountability group is heading. So it's watch this space, I think, is the answer.
Okay.
All right. I agree. I want to correct the notes, because the call tomorrow is not with the co-chairs. It's the CWG as such that's going to discuss if the board's mission is going to endanger a meeting the requirements. Just to be upfront. And as the proposal stands now, it meets the requirements with minor additions to the appeal mechanism. So the proposal as such as it is today is fine with minor corrections, but we have seen the submissions from the ICANN board, and that could change that picture if those revisions were taking into a new proposal. We don't know that yet. We want to check it because it's substantial in some of the parts. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa. Maybe I could ask a question then, sort of picking up on just the future of the CWG, given some of the outstanding items. Obviously, I'm sure you expected, or maybe even hoped or wished, that this work of the CWG was coming to an end with the approval of the proposal, but clearly it's not. Where do you think the CWG goes from here in terms of the interplay of the issues just raised, some of the issues around the PTI, and clearly implementation has not been worked through yet? How do you see the CWG playing a role there? How long do you expect CWG continue to have to work?
I think it would make sense if the CWG in some form continued to work with the implementation, because being a part of actual drafting the proposal, knowing all the discussions behind it, it makes sense that the group continues. I don't know if the group wants to do that because we need to have the input from the actual members. And I think if the group thinks it's a good idea to continue, I think we should get back to the chartering organizations to ask if our mandate is to be widened and actually also have the implementation as part of our mandate. But it's not, and I think it's also a balance of that the ICG needs to decide where are they in the implementation. So there are several groups here that need to coordinate and find their role in the implementation.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions for Lisa right now? Then let's move on to the CCWG. And Jordan has been in and out, but Becky, could you pick up on that for us, please, and give us an update?
Sure. We have just closed the public comment period, and we got substantial comments from a pretty broad range of the community. And the comments themselves are substantive. And so we are going through those. As Lisa and Paul mentioned, we did get some very elaborate comments from the board that essentially take the position that the CCWG proposal introduces too much change all at once and is therefore destabilizing. And they've come back with some proposals that are lacking in detail, I'm afraid, so it's a little bit hard to tell precisely how they would work. I think that they have pushed back primarily on the community powers related to budget and also the process for recall of the board members. But I'll let Jordan talk to that specifically. They have a sort of generally accepted some of the independent review enhancements, except with respect to community independent reviews, where they have suggested another process, which seems to me to be really just process related. But that fundamentally what they are objecting to is the single member model. And I think carefully reading between the lines, what they are objecting to is a sort of reallocation and the balance of power and authority among and between members of the community on the one hand. So, you know, moving from the SOs each appoint, you know, allocation of power where SOs each appoint two board members and the ALEC appoints one and all of the rest of the advisory committees do not appoint voting members. So on the one hand, their comments look like they're sort of focused on the reallocation. But then the other thing is clearly, although at some level they say they are not against sharing power with the community with respect to budget, strat plan, recall, and amendments of the bylaws, their proposal does seem to have some enforceability issues that suggest a slightly different place. So having said that, The CCWG is meeting in LA on Friday and Saturday. It is not a meeting with the board, but we expect that there will be lots of board members there. The group has been fairly clear that the board input will be considered as an input, just like all of the other quite substantive inputs that we've received. I think it's fair to say from a timing perspective that it would be very, very difficult to ask the chartering organizations in Dublin to come out and say yay or nay on the proposal, because it is likely that, you know, significant work, not necessarily changing the direction, but sort of clearly in terms of communicating what it is going to need to take place. Jordan, do you want to talk about the community powers? Because I think that's really in your
I can do that. It's Jordan here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, everyone. I think what the, I'd reinforce what Becky said. The board input is just one among many. It's a bit of an outlier in the sense that it would change a lot of these community powers to more advisory approaches. So for most of them, there would need to be pretty comprehensive rewrites of the powers if we were to adopt the board's suggestion. The budget and business plan stuff has been canvassed a number of times, but the issue would extend to a number of the others. The board proposes that there wouldn't be an ability to remove the entire ICANN board. They would like the removal of individual directors to be dealt with by springing resignation letters. And in terms of all of the powers, the underlying enforceability is lessened compared with the CCWG's model, because the only sort of hard enforcement step in the board's model, the MEM thing they've invented, is only applicable to the fundamental bylaws, and they haven't really proposed that this set of powers is fundamental bylaws, unless my memory is mistaken. Becky might correct me on that one. So
right.
the net effect of all that is that if we were to sort of go in a different direction, ignore most of the feedback and follow the board's recommendations, it would take some weeks to rewrite the entire proposal to make it consistent, even just in the community powers area, let alone the rest. And so I think one of the difficult conversations the CCWG will need to have in LA is, do we follow the views of one stakeholder in this process and derail the timing, or do we not? And that's going to be a tricky set of decisions to make, given how aggressively the board has intervened in the process here. We only just got the note from our lawyers maybe 18 hours ago. But it does call into question whether, if we did follow the board's proposal, we would actually be able to meet the CWG stewardship's requirements, which is an important point to note. And I think I'll come on the stewardship call list at 5 to participate in that conversation. So all in all, I mean, people were a bit knocked back earlier in September. I think there's been a little bit of a rally in the mood of the CCWG. People are keen to knock through to a proposal, but we just have to be realistic at the pressures we're under. They're caused, I think, by people getting the CWG process out of the way, feeling like the transition plan is there. And now a lot of eyes are really focused on the accountability stuff for maybe the first time in some cases. And so I think there's a natural process of heightened attention and concern, particularly concerned by people who would rather the kind of status quo stay in place, which is a natural instinct for some, but not for others.
Thank you, Jordan. Any questions for Becky or Jordan? So maybe I'll throw one in just from a logistics standpoint. As we work towards Dublin or head towards Dublin, as somebody who's going to be concerned about how this plays out in the CCNSO from a process and logistics perspective, do you have any sense of when we're going to see whatever revised proposal there is?
I really think it depends on what happens in ballet and, sort of as we churn through the comments all together. So I don't really feel confident in my ability to predict that. I just really don't. But in a couple of days, we will be.
Can I just add on to that? It's Jordan here again. Because of the kind of impact on the, I guess morale isn't quite the right word, but the willingness to do work of the volunteers who've seen the proposal through so far, even if nothing, none of what's happened over the past months had happened, it would have been very difficult to get a proposal together by the 9th. I think it's unreasonable to expect something by that deadline now. If a consensus does reemerge at the LA meeting, and if the USG doesn't send a signal of some sort at that meeting that there's a problem, and if the board decides to get on board with it, we might have something in time to consider at Dublin, but it would only be available just before the meeting, I think, as a best case, just because of the logistics of actually doing the refining work to the text, which can't start until, I don't know, the 27th of September at the earliest. So I realize that's not a helpful answer, Byron. I know that we'll definitely have more info by Saturday, U.S. time, but how that's actually going to land, it's a little bit hard to predict.
Okay. Needless to say, that makes the shepherding job through the CCNSO a challenge. The other thing, just trying to divine the tea leaves when I read Larry's statements, relatively cryptic statements, or Ira Magaziner's statements, they're sending pretty loud and clear signals about complexity and additional requirements, structures, etc. At the end of the day, this either passes through Congress or it doesn't. And given the current climate in the U.S., I certainly have concerns about NTIA's ability to get something complicated and very different through Congress. If I could ask actually Becky, since you live and work and breathe in that city and probably know it better than, any of us on this call, what are your thoughts on that? NTIA is signaling pretty hard, or at least as hard as they will. Ira Magaziner was brought in to deliver messages to soften the blows, perhaps. What's your take on all of this?
So I think there are some backstories to the Ira stuff, but I actually think that Ira's messaging was a lot more positive than he started out being. Larry and Ira both, come from the D side of the aisle. The Republicans control both of the houses of Congress, and we are, in a bit of silly times here because of the election. That said, I think that there's still a fairly good core of the leadership that is, in conversation with sort of more business parts of the community. But for the total crazies, who are, largely prepared to let a solid plan that does not appear to be giving the game away to the GAC, and that is sufficiently thought through, proceed. Now, the question is, of course, you know, this is not, it's not going to be the basis on which anybody votes for anything in the election. So the, you know, the kind of election timing is really just about mischief and positioning. Larry is clearly not comfortable with the, well, I mean, he keeps talking about complexity. I think that may come down to the sort of single member model, but probably more likely than that relates to the sort of possibility that the GAC would have, you know, a voice in that, in the membership decision making that is more than advisory. That said, you know, the GAC advice is sort of has not really helped us in that. So I guess the bottom line is, I think that we're hearing a little bit more about Larry's view as opposed to Congress's view from Larry. I think Ira actually is open to sort of understanding. I do think that, you know, a lot could happen if, you know, we went back to a sort of the GAC as advisory and the ALAC gets one vote, but I think it would be really hard to walk back from the voting structure that we've got on the table now, although there are definitely people who would like to do it. I mean, I would not say all is lost here, but we got to get enough consensus to move it forward. Now, I mean, you know, I'm not sure that Larry wants to kill it, and so it's a question of how we get there.
Can I just briefly add a point on that, Byron?
Sure. And then Paul had his hand up. But go ahead, Jordan.
Just really quickly, the complexity thing is a nonsense. It's equally complex to implement the board's proposed changes or the CCWGs. The problem is, with the ridiculous time pressures of the writing that we've been doing, the writing has not been focused on simplicity and clarity. It's made the proposal long and hard to understand. We can't have the time pace that we're doing and write a crisp and succinct proposal. But the ideas in the proposal are relatively simple whichever way we go. This is not adding a lot of complexity to ICANN either way. And any of these models, as long as they provide a strong enforceability, will be able to get through Congress. Everything else from everyone else in this game is just playing, trying to get their own preferred outcome in the details. And that's all I wanted to add.
Okay, Paul. So I'll be very brief. As I've always said all along, I think it's better to get this right than right now. I don't see why there is such a rush. Congress is very focused on the accountability aspect, and it's important that you get that right, and good luck to you in LA whenever that comes. And maybe it would be appropriate for it to be a two-step process. We get the accountability right, or you get the accountability right, and then once it's proven to be in place, the transition of the IANA function, which effectively I believe is the jewel in the process, happens at a later date. The contract can be extended. There is already a commitment to do that. Even the Republicans don't have a problem with the IANA per se. It is they're all talking when they have their congressional hearings. They are all talking about the accountability being in place. So I don't see a massive rush, and I do think the messaging needs to be significantly simplified so people can understand easily what's going on. It's got lost again in the bureaucracy of the process. But I'm very grateful to the accountability group, but to be candid, It does appear as an onlooker, and I'm an onlooker of the accountability group, that it is very complicated, and I'm not certain it's addressing the CWG's very simple requirements, but I hope that will come out in the wash. But I would suggest making it in two stages. No rush. The IANA transition can happen once the accountability part is proven, proven being the appropriate word. Thanks.
Can I, Alan is just going to add something, but before we go to Alan, I mean, there is a timeline here, right? We do have a sunset on this process with the sunset of the current U.S. government, and we know the hard kind of process facts about what it's going to take to get us through that, and if we take NTIA at their word, which I think we have to, it's roughly a five-month process. And if we're going to get out at the last possible date in this current government, or current U.S. government, of, say, September, that pushes us back to April to being done. So, I mean, there is a hard and fast date if we actually want to get this done. So I'm not, like, maybe I'm missing the point. I mean, obviously, we want to... doing it right is key, but to suggest that there is no hard and fast date, I'm unclear on why we would say that. There is a hard and fast date. Now, whether we decide to try to make it or not is different, but there is a hard date out there. Alan,
just if
ahead.
I may.
So I'm sorry. I just want to ask Becky a question. Becky, Jeb Bush, while he's not doing very well in the polls in the U.S. in terms of his run for the Republican nomination, he's widely regarded as being the establishment candidate. And the fact that he has come out opposing the IANA transition, having drawn a linkage between that and cybersecurity, do you not think that signals an increased amount of partisanship in the debate? Like, I'm not as sanguine as you are that Congress is going to look at this solely on the merits of the proposal itself.
Well, first of all, I think that the Jeb Bush position probably reflects some 25-year-old, you know, doing research and thinking this is a cool idea to throw in there and not anything more sophisticated. I have put in some inquiries to folks who are a little closer to the Bush campaign to get a bit more information about it, but I would not read too much into that other than, you know, the way these things get put together. Nobody probably paid any attention to it. Now, having said that, sanguine, you know, I wouldn't be, you know, in an election year, I wouldn't be sanguine about anything. Sort of anything can happen. I do think that the congressional leadership is still, you know, pretty comfortable. And there was a GAO report that came out that I confess I have not finished all the way through, but it actually sort of talks about the way in which the proposal should be evaluated and all of that kind of stuff. And it's far more matter of fact than one might, you know, than it could have been.
Yeah, the quote, I mean, I did read the, I haven't read the whole thing, but I certainly read the summaries and recommendations and such. And the quote that sort of struck me about that one is, it's no bark and no bite in that report.
Right. Yeah, and remember, this is something where, you know, they could have come forward and said the Commerce Department doesn't have the authority to do this, which some people were looking for them to do.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Becky. Paul, you were trying to say something before I cut you off?
No. basically, no, I'm done. I'm in agreement with the GAO report is, if anything, quite positive with regard to the work that NTIA is doing, and effectively, as Becky says, has not said, NTIA, you have no authority. I just want to emphasize that as far as the IANA transition is concerned, that contract can be extended beyond the September 2016 date. That's not an impediment. And if it can be specified that, you know, at September 2016, that it will be renewed for 1 year and not 1 year further. I just think it's very important that we have in place all the bits that can reassure the rest of the world that things are not going to be captured. I want to avoid another FIFA situation. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions regarding the CCWG? Recognizing we're pretty much at the top of the hour, maybe I'll just wind this call up and let you know we've been working on the agenda for the Dublin meeting and the CCNSO, and there are there's a significant amount of time devoted to this subject. The template, to a great degree, is similar to the one we put forward for Buenos Aires and the CWG, so setting the framework, bringing all the relevant leaders of the CCWG and the CWG and ICG back to talk about their various positions, roles, issues, etc. There are what we're calling five, but really sort of six separate blocks. If you have Adobe Connect, you can see them right now. So there will be significant time devoted to the subject. Obviously, for those in the CCWG, knowing what you're actually going to put forward is going to be very helpful for us. But there will be significant time and effort expended on working through the issues and talking about the issues in the Dublin meeting. Whether we logistically in the CCNSO try to put forward a resolution on this or not, clearly at this point, I think it's safe to say I have no idea whether I will attempt that, but it doesn't look favorable given how close we are and the fact that people have not seen what a final proposal will look like. So essentially, you know, from a tactics point of view, you know, I'll have a plan A and a plan B, but recognizing at this point plan A, which originally was try to get to a decision, is looking less and less likely by the day. That said, we will be expending a lot of time and effort against this issue no matter what, and you have a sneak peek of it on the screen in front of you right now. Alan, you had a comment?
Just to say that Bart and I have been going through some of this today, working on the assumption we have the existing proposal or a new proposal. And based on what you've said, Becky and Jordan, it may well be that we're in neither place when we get to Dublin. And it might be, for example, a waste of time to have a discussion of something that has already been jettisoned, but actually the new ideas have not come to the table yet. So let me leave you with the suggestion that if you have ideas that you would like to test market or questions or options, that might be a better use of the CCNSO time when we get to Dublin. So in other words, if you narrowed it down to changes A or B in this aspect, let's have a discussion about that. So let me leave that with you in the event that we can work together to get some feedback.
And Bart?
Just a final remark. Say this is, as Byron said, based on the BA meeting and how the CCNSO conducted the and jointly with the regional organizations, the CWD discussions. At one point, and in say early next week after the meeting in LA is done, I will reach out specifically to the CCWG members to start filling in some of the details in order to to be most helpful to you as well in organizing this session, so you get the most out of it. That's
thank you, Bart. So this is not published yet, but I just wanted to, or we wanted to share it with you to give you a sense, but as Bart just said, it's in flux until we have a better sense of what direction the CCWG is headed. So any guidance you can provide us as early as possible would be much appreciated. Mary, you have your hand up?
Yeah. Yes. I just remember that probably we could send something about delegation and redelegation, because some of the commenters on ICG public comment mentioned that nothing was said in the NIMS proposal regarding delegation and redelegation of the CCTLD. So I don't know whether we want to raise or discuss or find out what people feel about it, because the NIMS proposal said that CCNSO may develop a policy on delegation and redelegation, but some commenters feel that it should have come in the transition.
So part of that will be part of the agenda for our meetings in Dublin. So I take your point. I agree with you. You're correct. And that is, in the more detailed version of this agenda, that discussion is part of it.
Okay, then. Thanks.
So seeing no further hands up, and given we're already a little past the hour, and I know a couple of you have another call to get on, thank you very much. Once again, I think this call is helpful for sharing information and getting a sense of where all of work streams are headed as we head into Dublin. So once again, I'll just say, please, especially on the CCWG front, as soon as you have any guidance for me, I would much appreciate it. And we will schedule another call in 2 weeks, right as we head into Dublin, so we're all well prepared and well informed, and we have better clarity on what the outcomes of the CCWG face-to-faces have been. And with that, I will say thank you very much, and talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thank you. See you.